A very warm welcome to everybody. I think there's people from all four corners of the world, from just about every country in the world, and there's quite a lot of us. So we apologize, it's a little crowded, but we hope it's going to be a really great workshop, and it's going to be well worth having this many people and all the ideas that that will bring. I'm not going to say too much, but, Tom's computer. Sorry, Tom, you might have to reset everything. The most important thing is to thank the people who provided all the money. It's an enormous workshop. It's very expensive to put on, and we're extremely grateful for support from the Scripps Research Institute, JCIMPT, which is a sister resource at Scripps. Of course, the National Center for Research Resources, which provides all the money for NRAM, and this workshop is part of the activities, the outreach and dissemination activities of NRAM. The Aguron Institute has been very generous to us for many years. And then we have very generous support from four companies, FEI, Gatan, Direct Electron, and Ted Peller. We're really grateful to them because without them, we wouldn't have any wine or beer. So a special big hand to them. Soon. Yeah, first you have to work. So a few business matters. The posters. Put them up tonight or tomorrow morning. Check final details of your abstracts. There's a printed list of abstracts circulating. There's 10 of those lists. So if you find a mistake, mark it up, return it to us. If you haven't put in an abstract yet, please send it to the address, and we'll try and get all of those complete by tomorrow. We were hoping to have the posters up for the entire time, but there's just too many. So we are going to split it A to L for the first 2 days, and then whatever comes after L through Z for the rest of the time. So please put them up tonight or tomorrow. And the posters look great. I mean, the abstracts are really interesting, and I think that'll be a really nice part of this workshop. Buses. The buses are so complicated because, again, there's so many people. We have to have two bus runs every day. In the evening going home, it's first come, first served, except Vincennes is going to have something to say about that. He says the party people who are going out drinking have to be on the first bus, so you can organize the drinking party as soon as you get to the hotel. And then the party poopers can come on the second bus. But in the morning, you have to have a bus ticket, and you'll see there's bus tickets out there. There's an early bus, and there's a late bus. And if you miss the bus you're supposed to with your ticket, you're going to have to scramble. We'll do our best to get you here anyway. But try and do that, and we'll just see how that all goes for the first few days. Okay, meals. Again, we used to eat inside the building, too many of us, so we're going to eat in a big circus tent outside. That should be fun, too. It's going to be Gordon Conference style, which means you have to talk to your neighbors. You can't hide away. There's only enough seats for the right number of people. So that's good. That'll promote lots of chit-chat. The participants list has been printed. Please check it carefully. Check your name. Check your email, because that's, you know, a very valuable part of these workshops, I think, is knowing who else was here so you can contact them and get hold of them later. And we'll print a final copy on Wednesday. There will be handouts for the lectures every day. Tom's is being printed as we speak, I think, and perhaps Richard's too, or perhaps will be. We will try and get those printouts out so you don't have to feel like you frantically have to take notes all the time. You can just relax and listen to the talks, and you don't have to copy anything down because we guarantee we'll get you a printout at some stage. The panel discussions, that's a very important part of a workshop like this, which is meant to, you know, focus on the challenges and problems of the field. And, of course, we've come up with our questions, but the questions really should be coming from the audience. So we have index cards, and we'd like to just hand those around. Take one and hand on. And any time you think of a question or discussion point, scribble it down and hand it in to either me or Ron or Clint or Lorraine, and then get a new index card. There'll be many, many of them circulating. And then we'll hand those on to the panel discussion leaders, and that'll be partly how the panel discussions get run. I think those panel discussions, we have a whole hour and a half, I think, devoted to them for 3 days, and that's a really important part of this workshop. You know, these are the challenges, and we're going to have solved them all by Friday. So, okay, I think that's all I have to say, and I'm going to hand over to Ron, who's going to chair the first session. Thanks.
Good afternoon. I have never seen so many people in this room. Did you have a question? Already? So, I thought I'd start with a little bit of history. This is the fourth in the series of courses. We've had them every other year since 2003. The first two were sort of classical EM courses, which were a mix of lectures and practicals, and they were an enormous amount of work. And at the end of the second one, we vowed never to do the practicals again because it was just incredibly stressful. And also the other thing that we noticed was that we were doing everything. We were doing specimen preparation, single particles, 2D crystals, helical, icosahedral tomography. And we realized that more and more people were wanting single particle analysis and tomographic analysis, and fewer and fewer were wanting 2D crystals or helical or icosahedral. And there were, at the same time, many practical courses being started at other institutes to deal with the single particle tomographic and tomographic approaches. So we decided we would focus on the more sort of challenging aspects of the field. And so the last course in 2007 really had lectures only on specialized topics in electron microscopy, and we covered the entire field and really discussed many of the problems in the field and many of the potential solutions. Now, this time we've narrowed the focus even further, and we've sort of broken with tradition in that we invited speakers, but we didn't give them the freedom to talk about what they wanted to talk about. We gave them questions to address, and we're hoping that they're going to address the questions. If you haven't addressed the questions, you won't get your expenses. And the questions are all here on the program, so everyone can find out if you've addressed the questions. So, I mean, we sat down for a number of days and came up with all these, and I think that they cover a wide range of topics. You know, we were interested to know, for example, will we get to atomic resolution with particles other than viruses? I mean, there are quite a few viruses now which are at 3 to 4 angstroms, where the chain tracing is relatively... Well, it's even more than relatively. It's very easy to do the chain trace in these viruses. But they're, of course, a special case. There's a lot of symmetry there, which helps a lot. Can we do the same thing with completely asymmetric particles? Can we get to the resolution where a chain trace is possible? And, you know, the other question, which is very provocative, which one of the audience sent in, was, is it worth the effort to get to atomic resolution with an asymmetric particle like that? It probably will be a tremendous amount of effort. The other things that we were interested in, what can we not do with single particle analysis? You know, and we've asked a number of people to think about that. What are good and bad images? If you were at the Gordon, the last few Gordon conferences, you'll have heard some people refer to the good images as the shiny ones. Well, what are shiny images, and what can we do to make them more frequent in our image collection schemes? And how do we recognize them anyway when we see them? Can single particle work? I'm sorry? Just shine them up. Can single particle work compete with other approaches? And I think Richard may well address that. And of course, there are specimen preparation methods that we can use to improve our collection of so-called shiny images, and that perhaps will be covered in one of the discussions. So we really challenged the speakers throughout the next 4 or 5 days to tell us not about your successes, but tell us about your mistakes so that we can learn from your mistakes. Tell us what the mistakes were, how you recognized them as mistakes, and how you knew in the end that you'd got the structure right. That's the most important thing, particularly with single particles and these really challenging macromolecules. How do we know when we've got it right? I was actually shocked a few months ago, or maybe it was more recently than that, when one of the students gave a presentation here at Scripps, and he'd been working with a standard ribosome data set, which he'd got from one of the leaders in the field. And it was a high-resolution data set, and he had processed it using a number of different starting models or aligning and combining the images. And one of them was not a particularly bad starting model, but he ended up with something which was clearly not a ribosome. There was something terribly wrong with it. And yet the FSC curve told us that the resolution was 13 angstroms. So if you don't know what your structure looks like, how do you know that what the computer is giving you is actually something believable? So those are the challenges that we really have in the field today, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to answer some of those questions in the next few days. So, the major problem that we're facing now, or that many of us are facing, some of us have perhaps solved it, but the major problem that we're facing is heterogeneity. As you get to higher and higher resolution, you notice with single particles that they're not all the same. They may have different structures, different conformations, or they may have a different composition, so some of them may be lacking, or single subunits or multiple subunits. So how do we recognize those? If we have a structure and we see a lot of different projections on the grid, are they projections of the same structure, or are they projections of a number of different structures? So those are the things, another example of some of the things that will be addressed in the next few days.